Welcome to another episode of the Westminster Confession of Funk on the Cross Politic Network. This is a podcast about storytelling, fatherhood, music, poetry, food, literature, the creative process, theology, and the perils of trying to live the good life. I am Jason Farley, author, teacher, pastor, and publisher at Jovial Press. First off, I want to say congrats to Daniel Spratt, who won December's drawing for Jovial Press Books. He will be receiving free books. This month, in January, I want to give away 3 signed copies of Little Mouse Finds a Friend by Jenny Leidenfrost, illustrated by Jessica Lynn Evans, a great children's book. If you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or you just like great children's books, head on over to Twitter and tag me at Jason Farley's with an S on the end, letting me know that you want to enter the drawing, and I will use the randomizer for everyone who enters and give away 3 signed copies of Little Mouse Finds a Friend. I also want to wish everyone a Happy New Year, and I want to start off the year right with a little Samuel Taylor Coleridge, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, a great long story poem. It begins this way. It is an ancient mariner, and he stoppeth one of 3 by the long gray beard and glittering eye. Now wherefore stoppest thou me? The bridegroom's doors are opened wide, and I am next of kin. The guests are met, the feast is set. Mayest hear the merry din. He holds him with his skinny hand. There was a ship, quoth he. Hold off, unhand me, graybeard loon. Eftsoon his hand dropped he. He holds him with his glittering eye. The wedding guest stood still and listens like a 3 years child. The mariner hath his will. The wedding guest sat on a stone. He cannot choose but hear. And thus spake on the ancient man, the bright-eyed mariner. And the story begins, and it's an old mariner that has been out sailing most of his life, and he tells this amazing story about the time his ship got a little lost, ended up down in Antarctica by the South Pole, and then was assaulted through his own sin by a ghost pirate ship, and everyone else dies because of his sin. And what's really interesting is the word rhyme means rhyme, like we're telling a story, a poetry story, and it's got rhymes in it. But rhyme is also an archaic word meaning the frost formed on cold objects by water vapor in a cloud or in a fog freezing onto things. So when you're out sailing and you get you've got an old pirate, say, and his beard is full of frost, full of icicles, that would be rime. And when a ship is out sailing, it will actually get rime when it's cold. It'll get rime all over it. And here, the rime of the ancient mariner turns out to be this man's sin. The rime, the cold ice that's covered him all over, is the thing that's keeping him from being able to be a part of the shipmates that he has. He isn't able to have fellowship with everyone because of his sin. There's a rime of sin on his soul, and it causes him to, I don't want to give away the plot, maybe I'll do a special episode where I just read you the whole book, but he ends up killing this bird that is bringing all kinds of blessings, and it ends up killing everyone on the ship. Once the bird is dead, once he has to wear the bird around his neck, it ends up killing everyone on the ship. And so he is wandering through the colds of the Antarctic seas with a ship full of dead bodies. And the wind stops, and he is getting thirsty. There's no food, there's no water. And the rime of his sin has become evident in his actions. He is covered in this frosted ice that's keeping him from being able to live his life and is destroying the lives of the people around him. Now, the story is the story of how he learns to confess the rhyme, confess his sin, and be freed from it. And every time the rhyme begins to come back, he has to re-confess the sin. He has to find somebody that needs to hear the story. so that they can confess their sins, right? That he is dealing with the rhyme through confession and through the fact that Jesus died for him. It's really a pretty amazing long ghost story that is a part of the great tradition of religious literature in the West. Now, at the same time, as we begin a new year, it's important to remember this kind of story because every one of us has to deal with the rhyme of our own sin. It builds up. It builds up on our souls. It builds up between us and our families, between us and our neighbors, between us and the people in our church. That frost, that frozen ice of sin that gets between us and keeps us from being able to have a warm, nice fellowship. But this is the good news. Lamentations 3, starting at 22, says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him." The mercies of God are new every morning. It's really easy when you're discussing, let's say, creation, to get into the theological minutia, or even the historical question of, was it really 6 days? Was it really 4,000 years ago? And spend our time arguing about that, and that's really important because it does end up defining how we're going to read the rest of the text, the rest of the scriptures. But right here, we're told in the book of Lamentations by Jeremiah that the reason there was evening and there was morning from the very beginning is because God is merciful. God put cycles into the world. He put daily cycles. He put weekly cycles. He put monthly cycles. He put yearly cycles into the world because his mercies are new every morning. It's because he wants us to know and understand how mercies work, that the sun goes down and then comes back up again. That is one big artistic picture of God's mercy. We will constantly cover our souls with the rhyme of sin. God built the world in such a way that the sun comes up again tomorrow to melt the rhyme of our sin away. God's mercies are new every morning, and God is faithful. His faithfulness is great. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, so I can hope in him because the sun comes up again every day, just like his mercies. One big picture of the way God's mercies work. And so we should be able to say Happy New Year to people. We should be able to embrace the fact that it's a new year because we know that God's mercies are constantly new. God is constantly reasserting his mercifulness. He is reasserting his forgiveness in our lives. When the sun comes up again, we look out and we say, God is reminding us that he is merciful. Now, what is mercy? Mercy is when we don't get treated according to our sin. Right? Grace is when we are given something that we don't deserve. Mercy is when we are not given the thing that we do deserve. Right? We deserve to be punished for our sin, but instead, Jesus was punished on the cross. So every year is a new year because God's mercies are new. Every month is a new month because God's mercies are new. Every week and every day is a new day because God's mercies are new. So, Happy New Year. I hope that you are able to lean into this year with a hope that God is your portion and that he has intended this year to show you mercy, to pour grace on you, that that's what he is going to do with you throughout this year, and so that you can be hopeful leading into this new year because of God's faithfulness, because of God's compassion, because Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead. I hope that you are able to head into this new year and have a great year. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Westminster Confession of Funk, hosted by the Cross Politic Network. You can check out my blog for more of the funk, which is also hosted by Cross Politic. You can find my books at Amazon at my author page for Jason Farley, and you can visit Jovial Press to find more. Thanks for joining me, and keep it funky, people.